Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, a guest speaker is going to bring a special message for the church. Here is this week's special message.
So thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Even though it's nice and cold out, it's a good chance to get here and get our spiritual blood flowing. So as we talk about judgment today, I'm going to something I felt the Lord wants to do. And I'm going to just speak in the spirit here for a little bit to the movers and shakers in the world right now, you know, around the world, in the country, all the different things. And I'm just speaking in the spirit to them right now, and I'm saying to them that you need to understand that God is sovereign and God is good, and He's given you incredible benefits and gifts and influence and power and money. And you think that you're winning, but many of you are really losing. And you need to turn towards God and with God. And you need to turn now. You will not have a chance once you're past your lifetime and you realize your mistake. Those of you that are going wrong, you will not understand. You will not have a chance to change then. You need to change now at the height of your power, at the height of your influence, at the height of what you're doing. So I just speak to you and encourage you to hear God, hear what He's saying, and change your hearts and change your minds to come into Christ. So you need to turn to Christ. So we declare that in the Spirit to those that are influential and powerful. It's a benefit and a blessing to those that love God and are working, and it's a statement. It's a marker. It's an altar. It's a memorial to those that are not, that they need to change. And so this is how we speak to the world. So in Jesus' name. And the scripture that came with that is Psalms 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in His anger and terrifies them in His wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. And so we just declare that with the Lord. The Lord has installed Christ, Jesus, as the king, as the Lord. Right? Everybody needs to get with that flow, the flow of Christ, get into His presence, into His kingdom, right? Or else bad things start happening. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So thank you, Lord, for that. So let's do the scripture, Catherine, Hebrews 6, 1 through 2. We're talking about judgment. Let's just refresh this quickly. Hebrews 6, 1, therefore let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instructions about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So, whoever wrote Hebrews, Paul, probably not, but whoever wrote Hebrews, inspired by the Spirit, right, says that judgment, eternal judgment, is basically one of the basics of the Christian faith. It's a basic thing we have to understand. So, let's just talk about that. So, what eternal judgment, and we're going to get into it here, but let's just lay the big picture. So, again, what we're saying here is that this world is not all there is, right? This world continues on now, day after day after day after day after day after day, and it feels that way to us, day after day after day after day, and we operate here in the world with kind of our human thinking about planning and organizing for life, and those things are important, right? Building a career, getting an education, you know, finding a good partner, committing, having a good marriage, you know, raising your kids, learning to do the good, the important and necessary things that are structural and sometimes challenging, like organizing our lives. That's important. These things, so it's important. God's given us these gifts. And yet, you know, one day all these things come to an end. The day after day after day after day after day ends, and we then face judgment. And so we're going to talk about that. And so, again, this helps us reorient because this allows us to say it's important to do life well, but this life and the continuity of this life is not all there is. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of what will be one day. And so it helps us basically elevate ourselves to not just simply be caught in the normal web of the world, the nexus of all the things that happen, but to elevate ourselves and say, no, I need to look beyond just the normal and let the Spirit of God enlighten me about the future. So we're going to do that today. So Merriam-Webster talks about judgment, and this is one of the definitions. There are several, right? But the final authoritative decision on humans by God. So that's kind of like the specific definition about eternal judgment is the final authoritative decision on humans. And you're going to see it's each human by God. So I've got about four different kind of things that are pillars that we're going to talk about with judgment, right? And again, remember, this world is temporary, heaven is eternal. And so these are heavenly pillars that kind of come through this earth, and they give stability to this earth, even though this earth is in rebellion. So we're going to talk about it. Judgment comes ready or not, right? We're going to talk about that. So whether you're ready for it or not, judgment comes. It's beyond us. It's not something we control. Number two, judgment drops the damned. Okay? Judgment is going to drop the damned into hell, and we're going to talk about that. And the hell is the place of total isolation from God. Total isolation. So all love, all energy, all power, all comfort, all generosity, all beauty, all mercy comes from God. So when you go into that place separated from Him, you lose all those things. You are in destruction, you're in agony, you're in pain, you're in confusion, you're oppressed. It's like it is the weeping and gnashing of teeth, as Jesus said, right? You're continually in ferment and absolutely horrible, and you don't want to be there, but you have to be there forever. And so we're going to talk about that. Judgment drops the damned. Ultimate elevation of the just. So God is going to separate people, and He's going to say those that have tried to honor Him and bless Him, and I say tried, because some of us are really not that effective at it, right? Maybe we're a very sensitive person. Maybe we're demons are afflicting us, and we really can't figure out a way to get a huge victory over them, right? It's just every day is a struggle. Every day is a fight. You know what? Everybody who tries to honor God and bless Him, God is going to elevate into that great place, right? So it's not a question of how effective you feel or think you are. No, it's a question of how effective Jesus is. That's a whole different world, right? That's a whole different world. His effectiveness comes into us and puts us into that great place. And then we talk about the eternal judgment inaugurates the complete kingdom of God. So we're going to cover that as well. You probably already are thinking along lines with that. You already have that kind of what you've got in your head. And so we'll cover that too. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So this is what Paul is saying, that every one of us has to appear to account for what we've done. So we see there that this is going to be a personal judgment. It's not a group or collective, but it's each of us personally. So I'm responsible for what I do. Okay, I have some influence on the groups I'm involved in, or the teams, or the marriages, or what have you, but in the end, I'm responsible for myself. Each of us must appear, right? It's inevitable. You know, Paul is saying this is going to happen to every person, so it's inevitable. It's personal and it's inevitable. And so none of us will escape this time. None of us will escape it, right? And we will be very aware of it because God gave us understanding and knowledge. So we're not going to simply blank out. You know, once we die physically, we don't just simply blank out, but we continue because He's given us such self-awareness and choosing and such ability to be honorable and noble and blessing, right? And also destructive, right? He's given us so many incredible great gifts. We don't simply get snuffed out and we're gone. No, it's like the drive of who we are continues into the next world. The drive of the Spirit, the drive of trying to do the incredible things God wants, to encourage His kingdom, to build His kingdom, to do His thing, moves on into the next world. And so this is what Paul is talking about here. All right, let's go to the next one. 1 Timothy 5:24, the sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. So, again, this says that, some situations we understand, the places we're not doing well. Okay, and let's talk about us, myself first. Sometimes I don't get what I'm doing wrong, and maybe I'll understand it 10 years down the road. I mean, each of us looks back at life and goes, you know what? That situation, that relationship, boy, I would have done things differently if I had what I have now. If I knew what I know now, I would have done things a lot differently, okay? And it's a powerful thing because that's the beginning of learning, right? That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of learning. That's the knowledge of saying, yes, God gives me the chance to grow. I can't go back and change it then, but I can do what I can do now based on who I am today. And so it's a glorious, glorious thing, right? Some folks, and maybe us in certain areas, are just adamant, like, I'm not going to do what God wants, either because I'm scared, I feel like I will lose my identity, I'll feel like I will lose my reputation, maybe I'll lose friends, maybe the friends I have are not going to go along with me when I follow God. Right? And so that's more the obvious decisions that we need to make for the Lord. And we can see the downside immediately, right? And so both of those situations happen. And even looking at other folks, we don't necessarily know exactly where they are with the Lord. So we have to kind of make an evaluation to really work with them, to really try to be beneficial to them and let them be with us in the Lord. But I never make a final judgment about where they are with God, because in the end, only He knows. And so we're always encouraging other folks deeper on the road in a healthy way, but we're not coercing, we're not forcing anyone. We're always encouraging, open hands, right? Open hands and invitation. It's always how it is. And this applies then to groups and other people looking outside. I mean, some people you look at in the world and they go, they got all sorts of great things happening for them. Great career, great relationships, great family, this, that, and the other. Okay? We don't know for sure who's saved and who's not, but we can see what they're looking like by what they're talking about in public. Are they encouraging focusing on God? Are they encouraging loving Christ? Are they encouraging doing healthy things for society? Right? Or are do they look like they're really kind of grabbing things? They're being greedy. They're being selfish. Right? And so again, you know, we don't make a final judgment, but God will one day. And so we have confidence, kind of being the way junior partner in this, you know, in the confederation with the Lord, the way junior partner in our relationship with Him. You know, we just have confidence talking with people, doing the best we can with where they're at to speak to them, whether it is, no, you need to change and come to the Lord and really change your entire life, or, you know, just whatever it is, however we communicate when we're connected with them, right, or encouraging them, right? There's the incredible spectrum of all the different ways we talk to people and even ourselves. But we understand, you know, by what Paul's saying in Timothy, that, you know, the sins of some are obvious, right? And so we can see those folks that are just doing the horrible things, you know, witchcraft, you know, all these things that are just horrible and destroy your relationship with God, witchcraft and being extremely greedy and just hard and harsh and destructive, murderers, thieves. But in other ways, you know, we and others learn over time what I need to change. And so we're always aware that people can always change, you know, to come towards the Lord. So God is totally fair and just in these things. God is totally fair and just. And this is one of the stumbling blocks, of course, of life, right? We get, you know, we have to understand God is totally above us. Everybody that we know, including myself, is conflicted. Sometimes I'm doing good stuff, and sometimes I have greedy and selfish motivations, right? And only God is purely good and just. And so I don't have, it's a relief. I don't have to measure everything by my reaction to it. I don't. I can say, yeah, I want to be genuine. I want to have a genuine reaction, whatever it is, to situations and people and things. But in the end, God is the one that has the ultimate reaction. And I can take comfort that He will be totally just, merciful, and glorious about it. He is always looking for the best, always looking for the great, always elevating, right? And I have confidence in that because I know that I'm flawed and I fail at many levels, and that's okay. I'm still valued by Him and blessed by Him because He, in the end, is the backstop. He is the one that makes the final decision. And so I don't have to be responsible for that huge final decision. I just do the best I can, put my power in where I can, where it's helpful, put sensitivity and care and nurturing in where it's helpful, and all the different ways that we approach life and people are all good because they're coming under Christ. Hebrews 9:27. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. So again, I just put it here. So each of us will face judgment. And the way that I kind of think about it, and folks have different perspectives on it, is that each person is kind of like when they die, there's some sort of judgment that God does on them, right? So it's like right away. It's like there's not a long, you know, it's not like human justice where it takes you 3 years to get into court if you really have something going on, right? And you're subject to COVID delays and procedural delays, and somebody's not available, you know, your lawyer's not available, the judge defers it, the judge has a vacation, you can't go, you know. So God is not subject to all these things. God has precisely the right time to make judgments on us, precisely the right times for us to answer. And so Paul is basically reminding us here that we are judged immediately, you know, upon death. It's like it's not a human delay at all. It's like God has exactly the right time to speak to our spirits and to speak to our glorified bodies or whatever it is we have right away now, right? After we pass physically, He's going to speak to us, boom, right there. And so we are going to understand. So the rules of the universe, the truth of the universe makes itself very clear to us right away. You know, the spiritual side. And so this is a great encouragement for us to try to honor God and bless God now in this life so that judgment is not a shock. It's not trauma to us, but it's a blessing. It's an encouragement. It's you've done a good job. You've done what I've asked you. Your heart has been with me. You've done the things you've sacrificed in a healthy way on earth. You've honored God. You've honored me. You've blessed my people. You've done what you can to build the kingdom of God. So well done, my good and faithful servant. Right? And so with everything we're up to, we want to be in that place where that judgment then is not a shock to us, but it's a blessing. It's not a shock. It's not a trauma. But it's an encouragement. You know, it's not a fearful thing, but it's an enjoyment of the incredible glory and presence of the Lord. You know, the expansion of love and honor and blessing into a deeper place in us. All those things. That's Hebrews 9:27. And I think this comes after physical death. And then we'll get some more as we go on. So 2 Peter 3, 7 through 8. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So what he's saying in here, again, is that this present world disappears one day. It's reserved for fire, meaning it's going to be destroyed one day. Being kept for the day of judgment. So there now comes a great and glorious day of judgment. So this, a final judgment comes. So we're going to get to that here as we go. But he's basically saying the destruction of the ungodly. And we're going to get to that too. So, but just understand that it's not just you yourself that faces judgment one day, but it's the entire world. It's everything. Everything we perceive and understand here on the physical level and the earthly rebellious level. Everything gets destroyed one day. Right? And so this is an incredible, powerful truth. And if we live on that pillar, that only the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God, is what will survive into eternity, then it helps us to shed the stuff that's merely human and especially get rid of the stuff that's demonic or sinful, right? As best we know, it helps us shed the merely human and live in the Spirit. Live in that place of communion with the Holy Spirit. And so This is what thinking about judgment and the great judgment does. It helps us to prioritize, helps us to understand how to focus into the Spirit. Revelations 20. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The great white throne judgment. So this is the final judgment when God basically is bringing the earth to an end. And everything has to present itself before him to be judged for what it's done. Has it accorded with God or has it denied God? And he knows exactly where that split is and exactly where that is for each person, every basically entity and the earth itself. He understands exactly what the motives have been for people. And so he basically says, I will bring this entire earth, all your normal activities are going to come to an end and be done. Okay? And only heaven and hell remain. Only, you know, he will basically say, you're either with God or you're lost and you're damned. And so he drives a point. So history does not just continue cycle on cycle on cycle. Human history does not. God's history does. Human history does not. And so he will set the end point for when he destroys this earth and brings us into the age to come. So this is the great white throne judgment. And you notice that the dead, great and small, are standing before the throne. And I spoke a word to the great today, right? Because often, you know, often when we're great, money and power and prestige and all the things that come with it, you know, overwhelm the voice of God. And for everyone, but especially the great, they have to listen to what God is saying and to put to the side and put away, you know, the things that make them great and to say, I need to come to God as a child. Then let's look at Jude 1 through 6. And we're kind of hurrying here because there's just a lot going on here, but I'm just trying to give you the bullet points here. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In other words, all the things that come against God here, all the confusion, all the demonic stuff, all the horrible things that the demons do to bind people up and destroy them, right? All that stuff gets bound up itself one day and put into hell and locked forever. So God does not permit the destruction that comes on us, but God does not permit cancer to continue beyond a certain point. God does not permit destruction of his children to continue beyond a certain point. He allows the effects of it now in the physical mode and the moral mode so that we're in a place of decision whether I'm going to go with God or whether I'm going to go the other direction, right? He permits it now so that we choose. But the days of decision come to an end. The days of being oppressed by it, for those that love God, come to an end. And the days of being locked into oppression and destruction come for the damned as well. And so it's like, where are we? How are we going to react to what's up? Am I going to love God and honor God and say, God, whatever you choose, I accept. I will go through whatever you call me to do, right? Because this world is just this world and your world is the ultimate. And I acknowledge that. Or are we going to be in the place of always fighting for my thing in this world? I just want mine. I want mine. I want to get what I want, whether I'm scared or whether I'm greedy. I don't care. I just want mine, right? And you hear the anxiety and the desperation in that, and sometimes the greed, and that's not where we want to be. You know, I mean, yeah, we feel that way sometimes, and we understand, so we get that. That's part of it, right? The feelings and just how we react as people. But I want to process through those things and get to that point of saying, no, God, you are the glorious one. And I don't want to be driven by those things. I want to drive through them to be in your presence. Yeah, That's hard. Yeah, it's dying to myself. Like you said, Jesus, I have to die to myself to live to you, right? Have to. No other way to do it. If I think I've got another way, I'm fooling myself. If I think I have another way, you know, an easy way, it's not going to work. And again, this is one of our things, you know, as people, and you've heard me say this before, but as soon as I think I've got an easy way to follow God, it's probably not the right way. You know, it's like, no, it's not hard all the time, right? He gives us the recuperation, and he loves us and blesses us. So we have those glorious days. But at the same time, I have to keep in mind, just as much as the glorious days, I've got to have the days I fight to be in his presence. I fight to be consistent with what he wants me to do, right? I have to die to myself to live to him. The upside down kingdom, right? So this is powerful. All right, number two. Number two, judgment drops the damned. All right, so I told Todd I would get damned in today, so that's good. So, you know, there is the place of eternal judgment. There is the place of eternal glory. So let's hear what Jesus said. Matthew 11, 21 through 23. Woe to you, Chorazin. And of course, these are towns that were close to where he was born, okay, when he was on earth. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Now this is powerful because he's saying, okay, you Jewish towns, okay? If the miracles that had been performed in pagan towns, Tyre and Sidon, that were contemporaneous with them, because these were the people they looked at, these towns looked at and went, those guys are pagans. We don't want anything to do with them. Except for, you know, trade and maybe some other things, you know. But religiously, we don't want anything to do with them. Now, there's truth in that in terms of staying with the true God, but Jesus would always say, love them and encourage them to the true God. Don't put up a barrier against them in the wrong way, like you're superior to them, right? So he's saying, you Jewish towns, if the miracles that were performed in you were done in these pagan towns, they would repent. And then he goes on and says, and if the miracles, even Sodom that would have repented, which is like the horrible thing in the Old Testament where Sodom was destroyed because of their homosexuality and the whole approach to people, right? And so he's basically saying that the miracles are the indication of the kingdom of God, but there will be the day of judgment, and according to how much you know, you will be judged. So it's like, it's that encouragement for us to say, if we really know the Lord and have heard a lot about him, heard a lot about the Bible, then I need to have my actions match what I've been told or what I think I know, right? So I need to have my actions match it. That's the way to glory with God, is to have my actions match up to what I know, to the doctrine that I've heard and that I agree with. So agreeing with doctrine is good, but it doesn't really mean anything until I'm actually doing the right things. And he talks about they will go down to Hades. And so, you know, again, there is this place, the eternal place called hell, where people are separated from God forever, okay? Now, the people of this world don't understand that because they're caught in this, in the fiction from the demonic side that everything continues on as it is in this world, right? They don't have the framework of the kingdom and the eternal of the Lord. But one day they'll understand it. Hopefully it's not too late for them, right? Revelation 14, 7 through 8. He said in a loud voice, fear God and give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. A second angel followed and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adultery. And so at one point, you know, God judges everything. And those, again, those nations and systems and philosophies, those powerful people, right, that oppose God, you know, will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. Their end is coming. It's only a matter of time. their end is coming. On the other hand, the glory of the Lord and those that follow him and love him, our days last forever. And they get better and better and better the farther we go. Because God is always creative and always good and always honoring. And God will always give us better and better and better, especially once we pass this earth. Even in this earth, but beyond that. Matthew 25:31-32. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So again, the great white throne judgment, right? He's going to separate everybody. Everything will be fully known. And, you know, the thing is that on that day, you know, I kind of have a sense of it, and I'm sure you do as well. It's like no lawyers on that day. Nobody speaks for you. You speak for yourself. You can't delay that day. You can't change the outcome. And when God speaks to you about what you've done and who you've been, everybody there, including yourself, will know he's exactly right. No more hiding, no more lying to myself on that day, right? No more taking the best thing, the best that I do, and forgetting the bad. Or, for those that are in the other position, no more always thinking I'm doing not so good, but really I'm doing the best I can, right? Those of us that are confused, that don't really understand, that are timid, that maybe are not sure we're doing well, on that day, everybody will know. And it's like God will encourage those that are loving him and blessing him and honoring him. He will encourage those, and he will define those that have objected to him. And everyone will know it's exactly the right decision. And so this is a great comfort for us, because, you know, here we fight being pressed by the decisions of the powerful and the rich that are often anti-God, most often anti-God. Yeah. Maybe. But there are still earthly things happening here and in the earthly world, since the world is still in rebellion against God, generally. Most often those decisions impact us in a tough way as believers, right? And they should. Otherwise, we're not really being believers. We're just kind of going with the flow, right? So it should be difficult for us in the sense that we want to stand for God and this world is in the rebellious phase. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he will separate the sheep from the goats. So he's going to separate and say, these are my people. I escort you into glory. And he's going to say to the goats, be gone from me. You have no more. I will not give you any more the general goodness that I give you. As Jesus said, in this earth, everybody gets rain for their land. Everybody gets sun to grow crops and to enjoy and to feel, get vitamin D right on your skin. Everybody gets the generals, you know, general health, general all sorts of good things. Everybody gets those things. But when he makes the final judgment, that's done. No more do people get the general goodness. If they're separated from God because they've been greedy and hard and selfish, they're going to be destroyed. Gnashing of teeth forever. Sitting in fire, being tormented by demons, gnashing your teeth because you can't change anything, you can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't do anything. You are just in agony, conscious agony forever. Right? This is not something any of us want for anybody, but it's going to happen because God is so good and he understands that when people choose and persist in that decision to object to him and to fight him and to try to be their own God, he will give them what they want, and that will be destruction. Okay? Again, it's so important. Always remember, God is separating those people that want to come to him and say, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to submerge in a healthy way my will into your will. I want to submerge and merge myself into your stream, as opposed to those that want to be rocks and stop God's water, stop God's flow, stop God's mercy. There's everything on earth is pivots around that pivot point in each of us individually and each of our teams and groups, families, organizations, corporations, what have you. Everything pivots, and the judgment goes right to that pivot point And so that pivot point then becomes obvious to everyone, and you have eternal consequences because of that pivot point. And that's what that judgment is, right? So it's massive. It's massive. All human history ends at that point, right? But God's history continues because it's so much bigger and better. Number three, the ultimate elevation of the just. We've already talked about this, but let's just go on and flesh it out a little bit more, right? Because when you look at it, the New Testament talks a lot about Judgment Day and judgment, okay? There's a lot, so I'm kind of hitting the main, kind of some of the main scriptures here. 2 Thessalonians 5. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. So again, simply Paul's affirmation of kind of what we've already talked about is that the supernatural thing comes and all the normal earthly reality destroys, vaporizes one day, right? And the spiritual presence where the angels are present and the demons are present, we see them clearly. Some of us see them more clearly now than others, but they're there always, right? Because God's reality is bigger than our reality, human. One day, the human reality disappears, it vaporizes, and everything is left stark and clear in the spiritual. And that's what he's saying. And he's saying, God will give relief to you who are troubled, because we've been working for God, fighting for God, trying to love people and encourage them into the kingdom, even in this rebellious place. You know, we've been troubled, and yet we will be affirmed. We will be blessed, right? When Jesus comes, he will affirm us, he will bless us, he will elevate us. And so that's the elevation we're looking for. Not looking for human elevation. Now, if God brings it, great. If you can use it for God, go for it. Absolutely, right? It's always good. It's good to influence more people. It's good to have influence, and it's good to contribute, right? But, you know, don't let it become a bad thing. But use it for the kingdom. Use it for good. Use it for awesome things. And so, you know, Lord, what are you trying to say here? If you're a person that's always, Lord, how do you want to say this? I have a sense of something, but I can't really put words on it. It's almost like part of the process of walking with God is learning to, if you motivate yourself by negativity, meaning you motivate yourself by saying, I did this, I did that, I got to do it better. You know, and if that's kind of the main way that we motivate ourselves, and again, it's got us to where we are, so it's a good thing, right? But that's kind of cutting myself down, like, I just need to do better. I'll be better if I make that decision better in the future, right? And it's kind of got that negative to it. It's that kind of in that negative mode. You know, you're kind of like tense. It's a tense thing. It's like I got to perform better. I got to get myself more geared up for it, right? So if that's kind of the predominant way that we motivate ourselves, it's like, no, there's a better way. It's like, how can I come more into the love and glory of the Lord, right? How can I operate today so that his love and his presence flows even more into me? Now, I don't do it because it makes me feel good. It does. It's good. It's awesome. But that's not the main reason. The main reason is because it's him, right? I'm worshiping him. I'm asking him to come into me more deeply and fully. He's the focus. And so I don't need to be beating up on myself. Now, occasionally, sure, right, if I got to do it. But the general thing is, no. It's like God is calling me into a more awesome place. Why not? God is calling me. It's God calling me. Why not? Right? I don't have to be stuck with my own limitations. I feel limited in this area. Okay, great. God, what do you want to do to elevate me in the right places to break through those limitations to come into your presence? How do you want to do that? right? And our eyes start to brighten up, right? And our spirit starts to jump because we're like, this is cool. We're like, I can walk with God. This is awesome, right? How many people get this privilege, right? How many do? Well, we all do. The invitation is there for all of us, every human, but how many take it up, right? But that doesn't really matter in the end because I can do this and I can encourage those around me to do it. And I have the life of God. I have the enjoyment of God. I have the presence. I have the fire, the good fire of being in his presence, of being shifted, being changed, right? So why not? Why not? What do I have to lose, right? What do I have to lose? If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, I can't even be against me, right? If God is for me, yes, I can move forward and glorify Him and honor Him. And I will succeed in Him. I will. He guarantees it, right? If I'm doing everything I can't even stop myself from being in His presence. I can't even stop myself from being saved and blessed and honored. No, He's bigger than me. And so He's going to drive through the challenges, the opposition, the demons against. He's going to drive through the situations, right? And sometimes we get human relief and it feels better. Sometimes we don't. But in every situation, the Spirit in us rises up into a greater and greater place. The connection with the Holy Spirit becomes bigger and more prominent and more life-giving and gentle and caring and powerful and joyous and decisive and judgmental in the right sense of the word all the time. Like every day there's improvement in our connection with God. Every day there's more that comes in His presence. And so we don't have to worry about limitations or difficulties. We don't have to worry about them because God breaks through them. God breaks through them. So God gives us that relief. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is the eternal judgment inaugurates the complete kingdom of God. And so, again, this is the end of the earth. This is now the full kingdom of God. Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God when He was here. And so He's saying the kingdom of God is a place where God reigns and rules. So it's partially here now. We see miracles. We see God doing things that are way more than coincidences to convince us of His presence. We see Him, you know, knocking demons out of the park, right? And yet we're still affected by destruction and evil and by people against God. And so God, the kingdom of God is here, but it's not here fully yet. This now becomes a complete kingdom of God, which is in heaven. Right, where God exists and where he's got full sway and He's fully in control, there's only glory, honor, power, love, beauty, strength, mercy. Only good. Nothing destructive or bad anymore. Nothing even conflicted. Everything is glory. Everything is power. Everything is beauty. Everything is sensitivity. Everything is in sync with love and honor and blessing and mercy. Everything. And so we're simply here in this life for a period of days, a limited period of days, for us to make that fulcrum, make those decisions. Which way am I going, right? That's why we're here. We're here for us to understand and to make those decisions to go up or down. And so when the full kingdom of God comes in, then nothing is conflicted any longer. Everything is clean and pure. Everything is understood. And so we hold that ahead and we say, okay, I'm coming there, and yet at the same time I've got to think now. So it just encourages us to go, okay, God, since You're going to make everything totally pure at one point, everything will be known, help me to be consistent, help me to be strong, help me to find the right people to listen to make those wise decisions for myself, right? And to encourage other folks to do the same thing. And so the fact that the complete kingdom of God comes in at that point in time, you know, it's like the knowledge of that comes back into now to help me make good decisions today to bless and honor God and to let Him. So 2 Peter 1, 10 through 12. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, you know, Paul is concluding again just with the thing that, you know, it's like make every effort just to continue running the path, you know, running the path towards God, towards honoring and blessing Him. And if you do that, then you will be welcomed into the eternal kingdom. It's like the door is always open. The light is always on. You know, it's like the welcome is hearty and thorough. And the welcome by God is, I know you thoroughly and I welcome you thoroughly. Right? Nothing halfway with God. That's the great thing about God. Nothing halfway. If you push into Him thoroughly, He will meet you thoroughly and love you thoroughly. That's always the call. And so all the stopping sinning and changing and learning new ways or shifting is simply the preparation for the glory of God rising in you more and more. It's the preparation to clean the space for His love and His honor and blessing to come up and up and up and to overflow and to bless and honor. And so we are moving into glory. We are moving into glory. All those that love Jesus and honor Him are moving into glory. No matter what's happening in our body today, no matter what's happening even in my mind, my emotions, my soul, right? My spirit is elevating towards the Lord. Your spirit is elevating towards Him. Your spirit is more and more connected with Jesus now. There's more and more good fire coming up and down between you. There's more and more the intimacy, the blessings, the glory. And so that's what we join together today to understand and to reflect on, is that there's just the totality of the fire of God. It's what we were made for. We are created to receive that fire. We are created to live in that place. We're created for communion with Him. He says, you're higher than the angels. You will judge angels one day. Meaning that the fact that we've had to decide in this crucible here on earth, of where there's difficult things that happen, we've decided here, angels don't have that privilege. We have that privilege. It's a privilege for us to go through the difficulty of the world to honor and bless God. And so He's saying, you know, it's like when we do that, it's like we are going to elevate into perfection, into glory, into honor, into blessing. So this is an awesome thing. So thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your incredible wisdom and blessing over us. Thank you that you have understood everything so thoroughly and that you make it clear to us as we walk forward. Lord, I pray that you would encourage hearts today. I pray that you would encourage spirits and minds. Father, I pray that those that are weak would receive your strength and your encouragement to move forward and upward. I pray that you would address anybody here, Father, anybody in the region, even in the country, folks that are weak today in the spiritual, I pray that you would address that point with them in exactly the right way and give them encouragement to come forward into you. Give them encouragement and wisdom to be able to build themselves up, to choose to build themselves up in a stronger way. We pray that you would touch them, that you would spend the time, Father, for those that need to have quality time, I pray that you would spend the time with them, that you would designate one of your sons or daughters to spend that time with them, to listen to their heart, to be present with them, so that they sense your love. And Father, I pray for those that are strong and kind of headstrong and doing their own thing and just maybe too much. Father, I pray that there would be things that encourage them to slow down and to let you run the show and to let you drive the motorboat. Father, I pray that there would be some things that in a healthy way block them from areas that are destructive to them. Father, maybe it's too much sensuality or too much wanting money, too much wanting power, or too much wanting a reputation, whatever. Whatever. There's all sorts of things, Lord. And I pray that for those that are caught in caught on the wrong mountaintop, on the wrong mountain, because they've ascended the wrong mountain, I pray that you'd help them decide to turn around, go back down, and go up your mountain with you. Go up your mountain. So, Father, I pray that would be there for them today as well. And, Father, every other area of life. There's 37 million different ways that we approach life, Lord. You made us this way. We're so complex. That for every person today, you would meet them, you'd meet them and just share with them how to move forward with you. Share with them what places are being an obstruction to what you're up to, and how to get through that, to come down from that obstruction and to move forward into your presence. So Father, thank you that you are so, so perfect. You are so, so good. You are so infinitely wise and loving and caring that you have all the time in the world for each of us, Lord. And yet you also know when to move forward. You also know when to tell us it's time to move forward. It's time to move. Here we go. We thank you and bless you today, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you come with us. Thank you that you come in our presence when we worship and bless you. We're so grateful, Father. We cannot exist without you, and so you are always the center of our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers together. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your church today now as we dismiss in a few minutes.
This is Pastor Todd again. Thank you for listening to the message today. I pray the Lord uses it to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Once again, that is tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the TGP podcast. God bless you and have a great week.